Chapter 3. Less Obvious Side Hustles. Next, as promised, I will give you a quick rundown on 20 more side hustles. Some have the chance of making a decent living, and some do not. Where possible, I expand on them to give you ideas that could make them more lucrative. Selling or printing T-shirts. This requires equipment or a reliable, low-cost vendor. It requires an e-commerce website and aggressive promotion. Repeat business probability is low. However, if you can line up a reliable, low-cost vendor in advance, it might be possible to jump on a trend if you can move quickly. This might generate some immediate cash. Visit feelinggoodtees.com to get some ideas and a few laughs. Online surveys. Pay is low and often via a gift card rather than cash. Availability is sporadic. Being scammed is a possibility. However, I have had some success by signing up with userinterviews.com, where I got paid to give feedback on new products. The demographics of what they want in research participants varies widely, as do the product categories. As a result, I have only been selected for 4 projects in the last year. One paid $125 cash for about 90 minutes, and the others paid between $50 and $100 in Amazon gift cards for 30 to 60 minutes. You will need a computer with a camera and microphone and a high-speed internet connection. You will be online and visible to a researcher and possibly other participants. The projects I have done have been interesting and fun, but hardly a steady paycheck. In 2016 and 2017, I participated in 3 in-person focus groups that paid more than $100 per hour in cash. Each was a one-time deal, and they have all mysteriously disappeared, possibly due to the pandemic. So I cannot tell you how to find them, other than to search for paid focus groups in my areas. Human billboarding and human directionals. Human billboarding is where you wear a T-shirt depicting a business and walk around malls and other populous places. I also heard of a pregnant woman who sold ad space on her bump and was paid to walk around. Obviously, this kind of gig is probably not viable during a health crisis, but is sporadic and does not pay well regardless. According to Quora, in the outdoor advertising industry, human directionals hold, wave, or wear signs that include arrows in hopes of directing attention to a place, event, or business. Curiously, there are different subsections within the human directional industry. The most common are sign spinners are human directionals that spin, flip, or twirl a sign. Sign rockers are human directionals who move a sign from side to side in a hypnotizing motion. Sandwich men and women are human directionals who wear one sign on the front and one on the back. They do not move the signs but stand at a specific spot. According to Glassdoor, pay for human directionals ranges from $10 an hour to $18 per hour, with most gigs paying $11 to $14 per hour. The positions are filled mostly by local advertising agencies and are sporadic due to the timing of sales, seasonal events like tax preparation, and companies going out of business. Note that I included human billboarding and human directionals because they were on at least 3 lists as being viable ways to make extra money. I do not recommend being a human billboard or directional, because you will subject yourself to possible ridicule or harassment, someone you know might see you, or someone might post your photo on social media. You definitely don't want that. And that's why I created this material, to help you make the best possible money while keeping your dignity and avoid potentially detrimental or low-paying situations. Mystery shopping and secret shopping. According to Indeed, the average salary for a mystery shopper in 2020 is $16.43 per hour. There was a time when independent, in-person mystery shoppers could make decent money if they had a contract with a large company with multiple local outlets. But until the pandemic has dissipated, this is probably not a viable side hustle. Even then, there are large companies that provide this service that you would be competing against. When I did a recent search for mystery shopping jobs, I got several results in my area, which is Dallas-Fort Worth. But this is a top 10 metro area, and there are likely fewer positions available in smaller metro areas. Mystery and secret shopper scams have been around for decades and seem to proliferate during tough times. See the 2020 story, FTC Warns of Secret Shopper Scams, or go see what the FTC says on its website, ftc.gov. Sidebar. As you have probably surmised, the secret to generating premium money is to identify expensive and urgent problems and provide cost-effective solutions directly to the affected person or business. Mystery shopping is what companies use to check the quality of their customer service. In my experience, poor customer service has become the new normal. Good customer service is rare, and great customer service is virtually non-existent. I think you would agree. When buying alternatives are limited, as during a pandemic, consumers are forced to live with poor customer service. But when the pandemic is over? See my article, When the Pandemic Music Stops, Will Your Business Still Have a Chair? I believe there is a market for retail customer service consultants who help small businesses differentiate from larger companies using a low-cost secret weapon that can reap huge rewards. Outstanding customer service. Close sidebar. Tax return preparation. I did this many years ago, first manually, which was a pain. Then came personal computers and a program called Computax. Since most people did not have PCs at the time, I had an advantage. But after a couple of tax seasons, I concluded that even with the software, it did not pay well, and I had to wait a year for the possibility of repeat business. Then came TurboTax and Jackson Hewitt desks at Walmart, which destroyed that business for independent preparers. Today, routine consumer tax return preparation is a commodity that is seasonal and does not pay well. I recommend that you use TurboTax for your own side hustle because it is relatively easy to use for sole proprietor businesses via the Schedule C. Article and blog post writing. It pains me to see article and blog post writing on so many side hustle lists, because there are way too many people who are willing to write articles and posts for peanuts. It is probably not worth your time unless you can write on highly technical topics, and even then, it does not pay well. However, if you are serious about side hustling, then you should write articles and blog posts for your business. I recommend that you create, or have created for you, a WordPress website for your side hustle and start posting articles. I recommend that you make your content as evergreen as possible and hide the dates that your articles were written. That way, your content will always look fresh. I believe that you will need about 10 articles to showcase your expertise and problem-solving abilities. Exactly how you go about this depends on your situation and resources and is beyond the scope of this material. However, If you are serious about success and ready to take action, I am available to help you get started with a profitable side hustle roadmap conversation. Visit sidehustlesecrets.us/smartmove. Sidebar. If you want your business to be taken seriously, I recommend that you create or have created for you a WordPress website. The main reason for this is that providers like Wix use proprietary coding that is difficult to transfer to another host should the need arise. WordPress is an open-source content management system, or CMS, that has become the de facto standard for small business websites. Because WordPress is open source, there are hundreds of themes, both free and paid, and thousands of free plugins you can use to make your site look good and perform well from a loading speed, security, and SEO perspective. A complete discussion of website design and hosting is beyond the scope of this material, but at a minimum, once you decide on a name for your side hustle business, you should buy a suitable domain name. First, see if the .com version of your name is available at whois.com, but do not buy it here. .com is still ideal, but you may find, as I have in some cases, that your desired .com name is taken. If so, go to that URL and see if there is a website. If there is no website, the domain could be owned by a squatter who only wants to sell the domain. If there is a bona fide .com website, I suggest using a different name. If there is no .com website, go to the Internet Wayback Machine at archive.org. Enter the URL and see if there was a bona fide website in the last 2 years. If not, see if the .NET version is available and then the .US. I recommend against using the .org and other domain name extensions if possible. But before you buy a domain name, do a federal trademark search for that name at uspto.gov. If there is no match for that name, do a Google search for that name. If nothing relevant comes up, meaning no one else is using that name for their business, you are probably okay. Check with a trademark attorney if you have any concerns. The last thing you want is to build a business based on a name that is trademarked or being used by someone else. Very important. When you decide on your domain name, do not buy it at the WhoIs website. I will tell you where to buy it in a moment. Domain names are a commodity, and .coms and .nets are all around $10 a year, no matter where you buy them. For your domain name purchase, I recommend Ionos.com, Ionos.com. As of this reporting, for $3 a month, Ionos gives you one WordPress site, 10 email accounts, free one-year private registration of your domain name, and a free SSL certificate. I have used Ionos, formerly 1&1, since 2005, and they offer the best value and service for a starter website. GoDaddy and others charge extra for private registration, email, and an SSL certificate. Why pay more? Once you have registered your name, the next step is to set up a branded email address. Customer support at Ionos.com can help you with this, as well as help you get your website up and running. If you need further assistance, visit sidehustlesecrets.us/smartmove to schedule a profitable side hustle roadmap call. Close sidebar. Proofreading. Proofreading is like writing articles and posts. It can be very competitive and doesn't pay well most of the time. Sidebar. I discovered that some people are making as much as $1,600 a week doing proofreading of transcripts prepared by court reporters. As most people know, court reporters or court stenographers document the live testimony in court proceedings, depositions, arbitrations, and meetings. They record trial testimony using special machines and codes. That testimony must be translated into readable text, and it must be proofread for typos. It is tedious work and somewhat competitive, but it could be right up your alley. A good place to start if you want to get involved is Margie Holds Court, a website operated by court reporting instructor and author Margie Wakeman Wells. She offers a blog, paid classes, and publications on English, grammar, and proofreading geared specifically to the court reporting niche. You can find further information on the National Court Reporters Association website, which has a Facebook page for proofreading professionals. Close sidebar. Brand ambassadorship. A traditional brand ambassador is a person who is hired by an organization or company to represent a brand in a positive light, and by doing so, helps to increase brand awareness and sales. A brand ambassador is meant to embody the corporate identity in appearance, demeanor, values, and ethics. According to sites like Glassdoor, Indeed, and Payscale, the national average salary for a brand ambassador ranges from about $20,000 a year up to $58,000 a year, with the standard salary being somewhere in the $40,000 to $50,000 range. According to Inc. magazine, becoming a brand ambassador can enhance your personal brand and create new opportunities. The opportunity to grow your personal brand is significant. Brand ambassadors stand to gain valuable skills and experience that they may not be getting in their day job, which makes them worth more to employers. However, being a highly paid brand ambassador is akin to being a highly paid social media influencer. To make a lot of money, you need tens of thousands of loyal followers. This takes time, resources, and a flair for generating buzz. Many advertised brand ambassador jobs are low-paying or commission-based positions that involve going to nightclubs, business networking events, and other places where people hang out to spread the word about a client's business, often a restaurant, club, or membership group. The Dallas Business Journal uses brand ambassadors, or audience developers as they call them, to hang out at networking events to get people to subscribe. Talk about an inefficient way to drum up business. I knew two ladies who did this. They did not make much money and quit after about a year. Usually, brand ambassadors get a low base salary and a bonus if they can get people to visit a business or subscribe to a newspaper. But results are difficult to measure, and how much can a restaurant or newspaper afford to pay to get one new customer? Not much. Nevertheless, becoming a brand ambassador for a local business could get you exposure and lead to something better, as it did for my business journal friends. One of them developed large followings on Facebook and LinkedIn and used that status to help local companies generate business. She became a business matchmaker and received a commission when a deal was consummated. She told me that once she got established, which took about 6 months, she made more in 1 month than she did for the entire time she was with the journal. The other lady was hired by a local PR firm at 3 times her journal compensation. Notary Public Signing Agent. This side hustle gets a lot of play on side hustle lists, but I can tell you from firsthand experience that being a notary public loan signing agent just doesn't pay well versus the total time and expenses required and the potential liability. In 2015, my mother-in-law became too ill to live alone, so my wife and I took her in and cared for her. Although my mother-in-law had insurance that paid for visiting nursing and some in-home care, my wife was the primary caregiver. After a few weeks, my wife wanted something to do that would get her out of the house for a while. A friend told her about becoming a loan signing agent, and she said she could make $25 to $30 per hour through a company that made delinquent property tax loans. First, she had to become a notary, which is relatively easy and inexpensive in most states. Then, she had to have a background check, buy errors and omissions insurance, take a course, and pass a test. Then, buy a notary stamp and signature book. She did this through a notary association, and the cost was about $650. The property tax loan company sent her 2 to 3 signings per week, sometimes more. She had to confirm the appointments, prepare and print out as many as 30 pages plus copies, drive to the location, which was sometimes 30 minutes away, get multiple signatures, return home to scan and fax the documents, then drop them off at a FedEx store, not a Dropbox. The gross fee was $80 to $100 depending on the distance. Over time, she grossed $25 to $30 per hour. It took her about 10 signings to break even, and she did this for about a year. Then, with no explanation, the company abruptly stopped using her and the friend who got her started. We suspect they found someone who would do it for less. Because she was listed with the Notary Association, she continued to get signing requests. The problem was once again the C word. The business became so competitive that signings were being offered at $25 to $30 total, including printing, travel, scanning, and faxing. The first company paid every 2 weeks, and they had a system that assured payment. The new companies were unknown, and most took a minimum of 30 days to get paid. Then two companies didn't pay at all. The problem was that there was no recourse if they didn't pay, so she stopped. Being a loan signing agent requires knowledge of and adherence to notary laws, scrupulous attention to detail, a professional demeanor, and a flexible schedule. If you make a mistake, it could come back to haunt you. In my opinion, competent, experienced loan signing agents should be paid at least $50 per hour, including travel and processing time, plus expenses. But publicity and hype about this side hustle have brought people out of the woodwork and made it too competitive pay-wise. So, this is our first-hand experience with being a notary loan signing agent. YMMV. Oh, and just in case you are curious, routine notary service fees, such as notarizing a vehicle bill of sale, are limited by most states. In Texas, it's a whopping $6. If you charge more, you can lose your notary license and possibly face fines. Because the tax loan signing process involved travel and document processing, and because the fee was buried in the cost of the loan and paid by the company and not the signers, loan signing agents can be paid more than the statutory fee. Photography and videography. I was in a networking group comprised of people who provided premium products and services. One of those people was a high-end photographer who did phenomenal work. Not only did he take great photos, he packaged them in unique ways and charged premium fees. For example, he did a wedding portfolio for the daughter of one of the other members. She passed around the photos, albums, and other items he created, and they were impressive. The problem was, presumably, the daughter will only have a lavish wedding once. Same with other popular photo occasions. High school and college seniors only graduate once. Only one quinceañera per lifetime, and so forth. Videographers have the same problem. Most gigs are one of a kind. I know because I tried shooting video testimonials and spokesperson videos for clients. To start, you will need good equipment that you must know how to set up and operate. You will need a suitable shooting location, which is often hard to find. I once had to rent a small banquet room at an upscale hotel for $500 for half a day to shoot a video series. First, you must set up your equipment. Then, there are the people you are shooting. Most are not professionals, and most have never been on camera. This presents a serious challenge for a videographer. Then, there is post-production editing and formatting the footage into usable segments. This requires software and training. When all was said and done, it was just not worth my time, especially when the clients expected a broadcast-quality finished product from amateur subjects. And of the dozen or so projects I did, not one wanted to repeat. Not because I did a bad job, because they just did not need more testimonial videos or a new spokesperson video more than every couple of years. That's a long time between paychecks. And with the proliferation of smartphone camcorders that do a decent job, many businesses do not feel the need to bring in a professional. So, in photography and videography, as well as other creative arts like website and graphic design, you are only as good as your last project. You are a lion on the Serengeti, always searching for your next meal. Sidebar. Depending on your side hustle, you might want to create various kinds of videos for your business. If so, you will need equipment and an editing capability. The good news is that you do not need to produce Hollywood-quality videos. It is likely that you can use your cell phone to get started. There are several video editing apps you can get for your cell phone, notebook, or desktop computer. Some are free and some are paid. Some are easy to use, and some require training and experience. On my desktop and notebook computers, I use Vegas Pro, Adobe Premiere Pro, and Camtasia Studio, for which I am a certified producer. Vegas Pro and Adobe Premiere Pro are challenging to use, and unless you want to be a pro video editor, are probably not a good investment for most side hustlers. Camtasia Studio was developed as a screen capture video production app that is widely used to create tutorials using screenshots and photos or from PowerPoint presentations. Camtasia has a learning curve but is easier to use than Vegas and Premiere and has many tutorials available on YouTube and at the TechSmith website, where you can download a free trial version. It is possible to import cell phone and other footage into Camtasia and use it to create a decent video. Do a YouTube search for your side hustle and see what comes up. Chances are the videos will be informal, matter-of-fact productions shot using a cell phone or low-cost camcorder. They may have professional branded intros and outros. This is a good idea if you plan on creating a series of videos. You can get inexpensive intros and outros made at Fiverr. A complete discussion of video production is beyond the scope of this material, but you can get my DIY video shooting tips in the free Profitable Side Hustle Toolkit. See the last chapter for details. Close sidebar. Podcasting. According to Podcast Insights, as of April 2020, there are over 1 million podcasts delivering some 30 million episodes. Can you say C-word? 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, it was much easier to start and maintain a profitable podcast. But today, most podcasts do not make meaningful money, and that's a fact. To make a blunt comparison, from a producer's standpoint, podcasting is like drug addiction. Once you start, you must keep going with fresh, interesting content that is delivered consistently. Otherwise, your podcast will die. There are several successful podcasters who will teach you how to start and run a podcast for a price. The problem, though, is akin to network marketing, aka multi-level marketing, or MLM. Those who get in early are the ones that make the money. Most others waste time, become frustrated, and lose money. That's why MLM also stands for many losing money. Aside from investing in equipment, which you can do for under $500, you need a topic that will resonate with a niche market that is large enough to be meaningful. By that I mean several thousand regular listeners. Attracting those listeners amid an extremely crowded field will be costly and time-consuming. And podcasting has several catch-22s. You must create a meaningful amount of content to attract listeners before you can begin promoting your podcast. This probably means producing at least 20 or more episodes before you know if people will want to listen to your podcast and to build credibility. Suppose you want to attract guests. Most good guests will want to know your audience size before they will take the time to be your guest. If you have a small or no audience, you will have a tough time convincing people to be on your show. Another catch-22. And then there's monetization. If you want to sell ads, you will need a sizable audience that is provable, meaning you must prove that you have an audience of a certain size. Podcast ads are bought like conventional broadcast ads by demographics, audience size, and number of downloads. You will need several thousand regular listeners to make any money from sponsors. Another catch-22. You could sell your own products and services, but you will still need a sizable audience. If you still want to investigate podcasting, I recommend getting a free subscription to Podcast Magazine. This is a well-produced digital publication that will give you great insight into the podcast industry. Each issue lists the top 50 podcasts as voted by their readers. I suggest that you start with the February 2020 inaugural issue. Although there are several podcast repositories like iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, you probably don't need or want to use them at first. This is because you want to keep it simple and prove that people want to listen to your content. And even then, your content might not appeal to people outside your local trade zone. If your content is only on your website, people must visit your website to hear it. The problem with podcast repositories is the dreaded C word. Not necessarily your side hustle competitors, but competition for attention in general. Sidebar. Depending on your side hustle, you could start a podcast related to that business. Just as with video, you could offer tips and resources related to your side hustle. And producing an audio podcast is much easier than producing any kind of video. All you need is a decent microphone, some headphones, some audio recording and editing software, and a quiet place to record. There are so many suitable microphones and headphones that listing them here would be counterproductive. Search for USB microphones at Amazon and buy an inexpensive mic package that has decent ratings. Do the same for USB headphones. I recommend that you buy a separate mic and headphones and not a headset. This should give you better sound. I have used Goldwave digital audio editing software for 25 years. It is simple and easy to use. And incredibly, at the time of this reporting, they offer lifetime upgrades for just $59. Goldwave is probably the best software investment I've ever made. A popular free audio editor is Audacity, but in my opinion, Goldwave is much easier to use. I also have Adobe Audition as part of my Adobe Creative Cloud membership, but it's very complicated to use. By the way, I recommend the Creative Cloud membership at around $50 a month. You get most of Adobe's software apps, including Photoshop and Acrobat DC, updated regularly. I use Photoshop several times a week and Acrobat almost daily, so it's worth it to me just for those two. YMMV. Once you have your gear and software in place, go for it. Yes, there will be a learning curve, but it will be fun and could be profitable. And you can add on-air personality to your resume. Close sidebar. Babysitting. This does not pay well, is sporadic, and, in my opinion, risky. Maybe I watch too many investigation discovery shows, but I just do not want to be in a position of responsibility with someone else's children. However, you might want to try adult sitting, where you provide companionship for homebound adults. This is also called senior sitting and private sitting. I do not mean adult daycare, which is, well, dirty work and does not pay well. If you have a friendly, caring personality and are a good conversationalist, this might be an option for you. There are agencies that provide this service that you could work for, but you are better off money-wise going direct. You might want to hire a company to do a background check on yourself so you can provide it if requested. You might also want to investigate getting bonded. And of course, you will probably need a couple of references. Sidebar. Speaking of background checks, I highly recommend that before you start marketing yourself for any purpose, that you sanitize your social media accounts by removing any content that might be considered controversial, compromising, political, or not G-rated. You should also get your personal information deleted from big data sites like MyLife, Spokio, Bin Verified, White Pages, and other data aggregators. It is possible, even likely, that big data sites already have profiles on you. I have been able to purge my data from all of the big data sites, and the process was straightforward in most cases. If you search for how to remove your data from X, where X is the site you want to target, you should find instructions on what to do. It might take some persistent trial and error, but keep at it, and you will probably be successful. YMMV. Close sidebar. Caregiving. Take it from me, mainly from my wife who took care of her mother for 3 years, you do not want to be a caregiver for sick, non-ambulatory people. Despite literally having someone's day-to-day life in your hands, the pay is relatively low. We hired freelance caregivers occasionally to assist with my mom-in-law at $15 to $20 per hour. We also used a couple of agencies that charged $25 to $30 an hour and probably paid their workers $15 to $20 an hour, perhaps less. Depending on the patient, it is boring work because most of the time you're just sitting around. Again, depending on the situation, it can be dirty, unpleasant work. However, earlier I mentioned adult sitting, which could be a better alternative. This is where you are less of a traditional caregiver and more of a companion who provides services like meal preparation, shopping, and transportation to people in need. You might approach community or religious organizations to get adult sitting leads. You charge whatever the market will bear, but you might be able to gross $20 to $25 per hour. Droning. I learned about this side hustle in 2018. Droning seemed interesting, so I bought a how-to guide and a small drone to experiment. The author touted how much easy money could be made using a drone for security surveillance, aerial photography, and videography, and even transportation of small packages. Then I discovered the realities of droning for profit. First, operating a drone is akin to flying an airplane or helicopter. You must be licensed and follow strict rules. Second, you must become proficient at operating a drone. For me, this was much easier said than done. As a kid, I had a radio-controlled model airplane. This is known as a fixed-wing aircraft and is relatively easy to fly. A drone is a rotary-wing aircraft, a miniature helicopter with at least four rotors. For me, the drone was much more difficult to fly. Third, a sophisticated drone with sufficient control, flight range, and surveillance gear to make money can cost thousands of dollars. My test drone was about $50, has a control and flight range of about 500 feet, and had no extra equipment. Fourth, a rookie drone operator would be competing with established drone companies with high-end equipment, experienced operators, and a track record. Fifth, in addition to the foregoing, you will need commercial liability insurance that, depending on what you want to do with your drone, could cost $1,000 or more per year. So, although droning may seem like an interesting and potentially lucrative endeavor, it is probably not worth the required investment of time and money. Local whole house moving. When I was in college, a friend bought a used van about the size of a UPS truck to go into the local moving business. When he could not find anyone to help him, he recruited me. He said the pay would be at least $10 per hour, which was good money for a part-time gig back then. As a fit and able-bodied 21-year-old, I decided to give it a try. The first problem was that I lived in Chicago at the time, and Chicagoland, as it's called, is a big place. The first job was 20 miles from where I lived, and it took me an hour to get there in Chicago traffic. The move itself was a nightmare. Although it was a one-bedroom apartment, my friend had underestimated the amount of furniture and other items to be moved. Plus, the customer had not finished packing, so we had to wait about an hour for that. It took 3 hours to load up. We barely had enough room in the truck for all the items and then had to drive another hour to the destination, where it took another hour to unload. My total time spent was about 7 hours, and the total he got for the job was $100. Again, this was when I was in college, but still, divided by two was $50 each, more like $7 an hour for back-breaking work. I quit after one job. Fast forward to a few years ago when we had to move into our present home. I had a heck of a time trying to find a mover with decent reviews that would give me a decent price. I finally found a company that needed help with their online presence, so I did a partial trade for services. While helping the company, I met with the owner, who gave me the scoop on the local moving business. You've heard of two chucks and a truck? That means anyone with a van or pickup truck that can pull a trailer can go into the moving business, just like my Chicago friend. As a result, the C word keeps prices unrealistically low. Many of the people in the local moving business have no commercial insurance, no workers' comp insurance, no DOT registration, and so forth. They are just a couple of guys with a truck trying to make a buck. Because they do not have the expenses that a legitimate moving company has, they can charge less. And because many are only in it for quick cash, they provide poor service and usually don't last. This affects the legitimate companies because it gives the industry a bad reputation. Just go to Yelp to see what I mean. So, I do not recommend doing whole house moving. Sidebar. If you have a pickup truck or van, it might be possible to do specialty moving of furniture, appliances, and other items for people or businesses. It might be possible to haul away unwanted furniture and other items. To do this, you will need a place to dump the items legally. You might have a public dump nearby that might work, or it might be possible to make a deal with one or more local businesses that have dumpsters with unused capacity. If you offer them a flat monthly fee and promise not to overdo it, they might agree. To find prospective dumpster candidates, drive around your area and go to the back of small strip centers. Please do not dump stuff on the side of the road or in an empty field. You could contact apartment complexes, self-storage facilities, and homeowners associations and offer your services. You might be able to establish a route where you are likely to get hired regularly. I guarantee that every day there are lots of people with lots of stuff they want to get rid of. If you found a low-cost, able-bodied helper, like a high school kid, this could be a regular source of income. And occasionally, you might run across items that you could resell on Craigslist, Nextdoor, and neighborhood Facebook groups. Close sidebar. Lawn mowing, landscaping, and pool cleaning. I lumped these together because they have the same issues. First, you need equipment and a pickup truck, van, SUV, or trailer, and a vehicle that can tow it safely. Depending on what services you want to provide, you can probably get started for under $500, especially if you bought some used equipment. You may recall that I cut lawns as a side hustle when I was in junior high. I used the family mower and leaf catcher, and my customers were all within a few blocks of my house. So I just pushed and dragged the equipment to the job sites. And because the yards were small, one tank of gas was usually enough to cut 2 to 3 yards. In the fall, I used the leaf sweeper to gather leaves, then bag them for pickup. And, because I was just cutting residential lawns, I only had to sharpen the mower blades about once a month. This is when I would also change the oil. I had 5 to 6 customers that I serviced every 2 weeks from April through October. It was a relatively easy side hustle for a kid, and I averaged about $20 a week after expenses. This was about $5 per hour and was more than I could have made elsewhere at the time. To make a better-than-living wage in 2020, you would need to scale up considerably. You would need to invest in commercial-grade equipment, such as a riding mower. My junior high customers didn't care about edging and other trimming, but today's customers probably will. So you will need equipment for that, as well as rakes and brooms and more. To get an idea of what it takes to operate a landscaping business, just look at what others are using. The good news is, I have lived in several houses with yards that required weekly or bi-weekly yard service, and had a tough time finding reliable people to do the job at a reasonable price. The key word here is reliable. I will gladly pay more for dependability if I could only find a dependable company. If you want to try a landscaping or pool service side hustle, I recommend that you start small with commercial customers only. Because they have other things to worry about, commercial customers place a high value on dependability and will probably pay more if you can deliver that. And if you do a consistently great job, they will be more likely to use you on a regular basis. You might even get an ongoing contract. Keep in mind, though, that to make serious money, you will need to scale your business by hiring people to work for you. This opens a new set of challenges: hiring, training, supervising, firing, payroll, workers' comp, and so forth. And finally, landscaping and pool cleaning are weather permitting and seasonal. If the weather is bad, you can't work. In the off season, you can't work. All things considered, landscaping and pool cleaning may not provide a dependable year-round income. Mobile pet grooming. You will need a specially equipped van, some training, and the strength and patience to work with pets. We have our two dogs groomed every 3 weeks or so using a mobile groomer. She charges us $100, but we get a reduced rate because we have referred her to several neighbors. She charges them $60 per dog. It takes her about an hour to groom our two dogs, which works out to be around $100 per hour before expenses. She has a nice van with custom graphics that, with equipment, probably cost her at least $50,000. In my opinion, she is not very customer service oriented. Although I am the one who is usually home when she comes, she insists on texting my wife with her ETA. Then she just shows up. This is a hassle for me because our dogs get excited when they hear the doorbell, and it's hard for me to grab our miniature Sheltie Coco to put her on a leash. Although she has credit card logos on her van, she does not take credit cards. So I need to have $100 cash handy, which is usually not a problem, but giving her a credit card would be easier for me. Although my wife says the groomer gives us a discount because of all the referrals we have given her, she has never offered to give us a complimentary grooming session, even though my wife often coordinates her neighborhood appointments. Other than referrals and the graphics on her van, she does not do any marketing that I know of. So, starting and running a profitable mobile pet grooming business requires a lot of capital, or good credit, some training, and most of all, the patience to develop a clientele. However, like our groomer, you will be trading time for money. And unless you can scale the business, you'll be at the mercy of time. For example, our groomer was sick for a couple of months about a year ago and did not make any money during that time. Sidebar. This is an example of an all too common problem, especially related to local businesses. Poor customer service. Even when the actual service is acceptable, often the customer service is not. When contemplating starting a side hustle, look at the reviews of existing businesses in and outside your area on Yelp, Google, and other review portals. Look at the low-rated reviews to see where the issues are, then position your business against those complaints in your promotional activities. Close sidebar. Pet waste removal. This is also known as poop scooping. I have direct knowledge of this business because we have been using a poop scooper for 5 years. Recently, I took the owner aside and asked him about the business. Here is what I discovered. He has a small pickup truck that has his company name in nice graphics on both sides. He said the graphics ran about $1,000. We have two dogs, a miniature Sheltie and a black lab. Initially, he came twice a week on Tuesday and Friday afternoons and put the waste in special poop bags and dropped the bags in our garbage can. This was okay, except that our trash is removed on Tuesday and Friday mornings, so the waste would remain in our trash can for 3 to 4 days, which was not acceptable. So I asked if he could come on Monday and Thursday afternoons. He said he could do that if his other nearby customers would agree to that schedule, which they did. After a year or so, I noticed that our trash can no longer contained poop bags on the appointed days. I asked him about it, and he told me that he was now putting the bags in his truck and placing them in commercial dumpsters outside of our community. He told me this cost him $50 a week through an arrangement with two local businesses that had excess capacity in their dumpsters and welcomed the extra money. I suggested this strategy earlier in the junk hauling side hustle because I know it works. Instead of letting me and presumably his other customers wonder what was happening to the poop bags, I would have informed my customers of this and that it was at no extra charge. He charges us $80 per month to come twice a week, which works out to roughly $20 per week. This has not changed in 5 years. And when we were dog sitting for some friends and added two more dogs to the equation, he did not charge us more despite twice the volume of waste. I asked him about this, and he told me that he had started this business as a side hustle, and that over the years had developed a steady clientele that had grown to the point of having to hire a helper. He told me that he had thought about raising his prices but did not want to upset his customers and have some of them stop the service. I also asked him about other services he could be providing. He told me he had thought about this too, but it was too much hassle, and he just wanted to be in the poop scooping business. He told me that he has about 60 customers, and that was good enough for him. Dear side hustler, do you see how this poor guy is leaving money on the table? To help you understand how to price your products and services and get more of my side hustle marketing secrets, I created the Profitable Side Hustle Toolkit that you can get free. See the last chapter for details. The good news is, pet waste removal can be a lucrative side hustle because it does not require expensive equipment, but you will need a vehicle that can transport the bags of waste. You will need to buy some bags designed for pet waste that are available from many sources for as low as 5 cents each. You will need a pooper scooper, available at many places for around $20. And you will need a place to dump the waste. Depending on your situation, you might be able to use your own trash can for this purpose. In my gated community, my trash is picked up twice a week, and the trash men have no idea how many containers I put out, nor do they care. I happen to have two 95-gallon containers, but I only use one of them most of the time. I could easily fill my second container with bagged waste, and no one would be the wiser. You might be able to do the same when you are just starting out. Be sure to check with the municipalities you plan to work in to see if they have any requirements. Start advertising on Craigslist, Nextdoor, and in neighborhood Facebook groups. Have a special introductory rate of, say, $10 a week for one dog, $15 for two dogs, and so forth. Build a clientele. Ask your customers for referrals so you can cluster your accounts. And here is the most important concept to keep in mind for any side hustle. Always look for ways to add additional value to your customers' lives. By that I mean, always look for problems they have that you can solve or could arrange to be solved by someone else for a commission. I call this aerobic marketing, working your back end. Dog walking and sitting. A neighbor of ours uses a dog walker who charges her $20 to walk her two dogs for 30 minutes twice a day. That's $40 for the actual work, but doesn't count drive time and auto expenses. Depending on your location, you could charge more. In New York City, the rate is around $30 per half hour. But consider the drawbacks. Dog walking is a 7-day-a-week job. If you can't do it, you must find a helper who can, cutting into your profit. Just as with our pooper scooper guy, you will need to cluster your clients to manage your time and travel efficiently. And you will need to be a pooper scooper too, with bags and a scoop. And you will be trading dollars for hours, just like a regular J-O-B. Dog sitting, on the other hand, can be lucrative if you have the right living setup. When we go out of town, we take our dogs to an independent pet sitter. She charges us $25 per night per dog, but others charge as much as $50 per night for additional services such as walking. She only sits for small dogs, but she made an exception for our black lab Granite because he is so lovable. It also made sense because we need sitting for two dogs. She and her husband have a nice 2,400-square-foot detached single-story home with a modest but adequate fenced backyard with a pool. All their floors are tile, with a few throw rugs here and there. She can accommodate up to 12 dogs at a time, but averages 6 at a time 3 days a week. She averages about 78 dog nights a month, or about $1,950 per month before expenses, which are minimal because her clients bring their own food and treats. She told us that one client brings bottled water for her two dogs. I'm not making this stuff up. But because she uses Rover.com for most of her bookings, she must pay them a 15% service fee that includes liability insurance and vetting of clients and dogs. Wag.com provides a similar service. So she nets around $1,600 a month. Not quite a living wage, but a good supplemental income for two retirees on Social Security. Mobile lunches, snack, and food trucking. I have read accounts of people who make decent money with lunch, snack, and food trucks. However, like mobile pet grooming, a substantial investment or good credit is required to buy and outfit your truck and buy stock or supplies. According to a June 2020 Business News Daily article, while the cost of starting a food truck business varies greatly depending on your specific situation, costs can range from $28,000 to $114,000 to get the business off the ground. According to Food Truck Empire, there are some additional startup costs you can expect when launching a food truck business, including insurance, $2,000 to $4,000 per year, initial product inventory, $1,000 to $2,000. Payment processing, $200 to $1,000. Commissary fees, $400 to $1,200. Permits and licenses, $100 to $500. According to Restaurant Ninjas, while many factors affect how much money the average food truck makes per year, the consensus appears to be around $100,000 gross income. Here are some ways to start your business with minimal funding. Excerpted from the Business News Daily article. Talk with someone who already owns a food truck and negotiate a lease or rental agreement. Start with a low-cost used cart or trailer. Start selling at a farmer's market, fair booth, or pop-up. Another challenge is finding a route that is both profitable and legal. By that I mean getting permission from a company or other entity to operate your service at or near their location. Chances are that the best lunch and snack locations are already taken, and food truck ordinances vary widely. Some municipalities do not seem to have or enforce regulation, but many do. Some require permits and food handling cards. And then there's sales tax. As of this reporting, only 5 states, Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon, have no sales tax. But the rest do. And legally, you are required to collect, report, and pay over sales taxes to the state and possibly the city. And take it from me, some states, like Texas, are more aggressive tax collectors than the IRS. When I had my telephone advertising on hold business, I had to charge sales tax on the playback equipment portion of the fee, but not the actual production of the ad. Strange, but true. So I had to collect tax, report it, and then pay it. After I sold that business, I stopped filing sales tax returns. Then one day, a Texas tax enforcement agent showed up at my door, demanding an explanation. I told him that I had sold the business, only to be told that I still needed to file a return even if the tax was zero, because I was still doing business under the same name. It was only after I moved out of Texas that the obligation stopped. When I moved back, since my personal services were and are not subject to sales tax, and my company was new, I am not required to file a return.